Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Savior, Master Lord. Thank you. Thank you even for today, Lord. A day that we still could breathe the life, not the physical life alone, but breathe the spiritual life that's in us. And to know you is all that we need, Father. The closeness, the nearest, just to hear the heartbeat of our Savior Jesus Christ. The reality, O Father, of our existence and our relationship with you as children of the living God. What more do we need, Father? But let our faith, O Lord, rise up like the eagle, not having to struggle and to strive, knowing that the Lord is graced, and it already, all that the eagle have to do, Lord, is strike the wing, because the power that rises him to make him fly is already there. And for us too, O Father, the power to make us, to lift us up above all the problems in life, the afflictions, the sorrow, the pain, the frustration, the trial, the persecution, whatever does beset us, O Father. We have that faith that is given by thee to us. May we have the faith of God, the revelation to know. It's your word that power our life. It's your spirit that power our life. Lift us up above all things, O Lord, that come against us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace, for your mercy, your goodness today. And I believe, Lord, we all can look back to yesterday, to last week, to last month, to last year, to 10 years ago. Even to the day when we came to know you, Lord, as our Savior and our Lord, and we can all say that, Lord, you have kept us, you have guided us. Though at times we may have been filled with frustration and pain, anger in us, it seems that you are far away somewhere, taking a vacation, but we are in need of you. That's how we feel in life, Father. Many times this carnal man that comes up within us, the black dog. And we pray, Father, today, as we learn thy word a little more of the characters, O Lord, of the man that you call, the seed that you have, those sons of God. Whom, Lord, you put to trial even so, even like Abraham. Because, Lord, without the testing of faith, we cannot be molded and shaped to be a crown for the master's use, or as gold is refined, pure gold. But we know, Lord, all those years, you have never left us. You have kept us, Lord, all these years, even till today. And you will continue to do so till we see Christ Jesus face to face. The grave is not our goal, Father. We look forward to that day when this vile body, this corruptible body, will be changed. And the mind that is still carnal at this time, Father, once in a while get upset, will also be changed for all good, that all things, O Lord, will never be remembered anymore. Sorrows and pain will all be gone. But until then, Father, Lord, be with us. Walk with us, talk with us, hold our hands, and feed us and grant us the grace to grow strong in faith in Christ Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you now. As we sit down, Father, before you at thy feet to learn of you, bless us now, Lord. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have already looked into the life of Abraham. You know how was a very common man. There was nothing special about him. A common man whom God called out of a land where the people worship Yahweh in one way or another, but they are so mixed up with traditions and their ideas about Yahweh that they will worship images, graven images, idols and whatever. So they become that the full knowledge and the full revelation of Yahweh was watered down. To a place that people really don't know Yahweh, that they should know him as he is. So remember that when we look at Abraham, also we need to look at the situation of the Christian world today. People worship God. People worship, well, they say the God of the Bible. But there you can see that there's so much mixture, the opinions of men. Even graven images were looked upon and even looked at and built altar and even worship and considered that as part of the heavenly things that they should worship. So, that is the reason why when after the flood, when population multiplied, when civilization started, and thousands of people were scattered around in that region, the Mesopotamia, down the Canaan land and so on. Japhet went up north to Europe and, you know, Ham went over to the southern side, and even many of his descendants lived in the Middle East. And the Shemites, many of them was, of course, out there in the Mesopotamia region, some going eastward to China. But the thing is this, after there was such a large population of people, and God was watching and seeing all the people's idea, you must understand that the three sons of Noah, they all knew Yahweh. But they all had their own opinion in worshipping him. So as year passed, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 100, and so on. And by the time it comes to the day of Abraham, God decided to call a man from him that he will have a family of people who really would know him. So when he chose Abraham, we know that he was from a family of people. In that land they worship Yahweh, but of course, as I said, they incorporate their own opinion and ideas about Yahweh into their worship. And so when God called Abraham, it was the beginning of something new. And in the last day, in the last church age, when God sent a prophet to give a message, to call out the bride, remember, it is the beginning of something new for all those that came out. And you know the journey is not easy, isn't it? I don't know how many years you have been in this journey. I came to the message at 71. I was in the system. I was worshipping the God of the Bible, but I believe in the Trinity. And I told him time and again, when I pray in those days, I spent a lot of time praying. I talked to the Father 20 minutes. The Son 20 minutes and the Holy Spirit 20 minutes. And I was a true blue Trinitarian. You know. I mean, that's my understanding. That was because I was taught like that by the examples of God. and talk about eternal hellfire that will burn forever and you will not die and you scream in there. If you are a sinner, send to that place. So all this was so corrupt. All this was mixed with the Bible. All this man-made teaching, the tradition was there. And God hates these things. It covers up the truth of the light. But when God sent a message, when I heard it, I came out. And when I came out, it was a journey that was difficult. It wasn't easy. But I began to understand why when God told me when I was in the system that He had given me a ministry. At that time I was there, I have no idea. Just reading on my Bible. And that was in 68. And 3 years later, then I came into the message, then I understand why. Then I'm free. I was free. But the journey was not easy. There was so many persecution and trials. Not just from those of the kindred kind of denomination churches or the churches, we will see. But also from within, from those that who believe in the same message, who came out, who heard the message, who came out. They are to face the persecution. And when I look at the life of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, I see the same thing in their life. And that give me more of a blessing, more of a, you know, strength and edification within me. To continue to hold fast to the faith that was once given to the saints. So when we look at Abraham's life, as I said, the record is already, they are all here in this Bible. All his life, good, bad, wrong, right, all recorded here. Isaac's recorded here. Jacob recorded here. And all the other saints too. Can we criticize them? God laid it out for us to see that we may learn. Certainly you do not want to have your bad, you know, your sin exposed and be written in a book or record. Look what happened in Singapore the last few, or the whole of this year. In fact, all this report about, a couple, I think it was even a paper 2 days ago, who mistreated a maid. Just imagine that. Don't give food to the maid, a piece of bread in the morning, and instant noodle only on the lunch or something like that, and that poor maid lost weight, half the size of the amount of her original weight. How could they treat people like that? We look at the paper, their faces were there. Now the Bible, you don't have a face there of Abraham. So you don't know who Abraham was. I mean, just know the person. But you see in the paper, how do you think they feel? Turning to the paper in the morning, their face with them. So think about these things. But when I look even at the paper of this couple, I mean, in my heart we say, they deserve it. They were so bad. But then I was thinking, it could have been me too. Don't you think so? When something snapped, what causes them to do that? What causes Abraham to tell Sarah to say that I'm your brother? Huh? Or else they will kill me and take you to wife. What causes that thing? Think about it. It was because Abraham was fearful that he for his own life. And the woman, you know, you make a decision. And how many times now we make it when we look at things like my brother Jimmy trying to buy that cheap brick, what that? Cheap shredder, yeah. Did not spend the more careful scrutinizing the details and information. This cheap, not buy. Sometimes we find one product look the same as the other one we buy because it's cheaper. Then we find that it doesn't work. So, you know, Many times we don't sort of read, analyze, look at it carefully. And we just go instantly do it. And Abraham did it once, not only just once, twice. See? Isaac had the same familiar spirit, gets along with it, and Jacob likewise, and Jacob being a conniver, a schemer, or a supplanter. And God had to teach him a lesson. Yeah, of course, every time we read the story, we know that he went up to Laban up there, Padan Aram, was because Esau, his brother, wanted to kill him. Right? So his father said, you know, you better go up there to your uncle. Go to Laban. Stay there until, you know, the hatred of Esau passed away. So he went, so it was actually, God's intention was to send him up there to Laban, because Laban was a great deceiver. So that will teach Jacob lessons. You know, when we read about Abraham having a promised son, Isaac, we thought that's it. But no, it comes down to Jacob. And Jacob, when you look at Jacob's life, wow, what a changed man he became the night when he wrestled with the angel of God. So now let's go to chapter 32. And Brother Henry, will you read?
And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I intend to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight."
Okay. Now here we already see in the previous chapter. Now remember, we are talking about the tree of the serpent. And when we talk about the tree of the serpent, remember this, the serpent, the physical serpent, the literal serpent, no longer exists. This, the seed, no longer exists. Okay? There's no more literal serpent on this earth. No more literal serpent seed. They were all wiped up in the flood. There are those, yeah, some Branham might still believe, because the misquote of Brother Branham said, he said, yes, they are still there. And I can prove you from the Bible, they said. And Jesus said to, you know, a Pharisee, "You are the father of the devil. You are vipers thing. There you are, this is a serpent seed." But they do not understand that Jesus is talking about the spiritual side of it. Because when we look in there carefully in the Genesis, you know, literal serpents, they are all wiped out. What we have is that spirit. Remember, that's what we talk about, the original sin. That serpentine nature that was infused into the blood and mixed with man. Until every one of us here, yourself is called original sin, we inherit it. It's inherent in us. You understand that? You see? So that's why Christ had to shed his blood as a propitiation. A pure sinless person, a pure sinless blood, to clean away all that filth that is in our life. And that is being done in the spiritual way. Because God works from inside out, not outside in. You understand that? That's why the Bible, we know that what the Bible said, when God said, "People worship me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me." Physically, they say, "Oh, praise the Lord, I love you," but their heart is far from me. That spiritual side of man, that real heart, felt religion that they said they have of God is not there. You see. So now that Jacob and his family, his four wives, and all his 12 children ran away from Laban. So now, here, as it came down, here in verse 1 it says, I want you to notice here. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of the Lord met him. You see the word met him, as opposed to the word appear to him. These are angels of the Lord, just like, you know, when the Lord, if the angel appear to you, it's one thing. But you are going somewhere on the road, and angels come towards you to meet you. It's a different situation. Remember that the three angels that came to meet Abraham in the cool of the day, or the heat of the day, whatever you want to say, you know, they purposely came down there not just to appear. You see, so sometimes when we see what was going on in the Bible, the way it is written, Jacob was going away from Laban. And on the way down to his, as God told him to go back to Bethel. So he went. Now his mind was set, he had a good direction. After Laban, you know, I said, okay, you just go there. Go back to your own place, and I'll go back to mine. So he has his direction fixed, Jacob, to go back. So as he went, here came, I don't know how many angels, the Bible says angels, came to him. And now, Jacob saw them and said, this is the Lord's host. And he called the name of that place, Mahanaim. Which means to say there are two camps. Now here, Hebrew has, you know the words in Hebrew, sometimes the way they name a place. They thought the place was also called by that name. You know, like the place where Jacob, you know, when he put on his to sleep and lay down to sleep, and the ladder, you know, there was a vision where the ladder from the earth went up to heaven, the angel went up and down and so on, and called a place Bethel. Right? You see? So this, he called this place Mahanaim, which means two camps. Now, here's a play of words, interestingly, because Jacob had his own family, his own household. That was his one camp. But now the angel came to meet him. So we don't know, we weren't told how many angels there were. So he said, now there are two camps, my camp and the heavenly camp that comes to be with me. You understand? And to me, I want to say this, is that two of the most important angels in my life is called Grace and Mercy. That's why my son and my daughter are named them. You know, Grace and Mercy is what we need. And that's what to Jacob is like that. It's just like grace and mercy of God to him. Remember that Jacob told the Lord, you know, that if God will clothe him, feed him, you know, and then later on bring him to Bethel, return back, he will give a temple to God, and he will worship the God of Abraham and Isaac. Kind of a strange promise, a vow he made. You know, you understand what I'm saying? But even though he made the vow, he was sincere in that he would keep it. And so now he returned back to the place where he was supposed to go back to. And the angel appeared to him. Oh, came to meet him. And that is very interesting on that now. And also I want to say this, when you talk about two camps, Mahanaim. Seems also to say that why Jacob's family and household went back, on the way back, on the journey. There is a camp of angels in front, leading the way. And there is a camp of angels at the back, watching their movement. You know, it's just as soldiers, you know, guiding you. So, what is your blessing from God? And all that I want you to remember, there's a thing that you should have, always remember, is that there are always two angels guiding you. The angel of grace and the angel of mercy. Alright? See what he says in verse 4. He told the servants to go, you know, to tell them to say, to bring them ahead and go and meet Esau first. And like ambassador, he said, tell Esau, thy servant Jacob. Let's go to the book of Genesis 27:29. And see 7, chapter 27, 29. Brother KK, can you read that verse?
Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be not over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee.
Yeah, you see, you know, that was the blessing that was pronounced upon Jacob. Be Lord over your brethren. Right. So his brother was Esau. Be Lord over your brethren. But Jacob, though he still had a fear of Esau, he didn't know what Esau is going to do to him. He had no idea whether Jacob have simmered down from his hatred or the desire to kill him. But since the Lord was with him, since the angel of the Lord met him, got him on the way, he should have the faith to trust. Because the Lord promised him already, "If I'll bring you back to battle." But yet he still had that fear. I mean, it's very natural, isn't it? Is it not? I mean, we will read the Bible like this. We wonder, why did he fear? You know, I do have fear sometimes. For reasons just ridiculous. You know. Especially when I travel. The one fear that is I have in my traveling is missing the flight. That's the only fear I have. That's why I always go to the airport extremely early. And there are a couple of times, especially in Africa, waiting in the morning, early morning, you know, the van supposed to come and pick me to go to the airport. But the van did not appear. So within 15 minutes, I told the brother, it's 15 minutes already. The brother said, "Don't worry, brother, no problem." Half an hour passed, still no problem. I said, "Well, no problem. I missed my flight. I will not be in the next destination." You know, after a few times like this, I give up. I realize that I'm not in control anymore. You know, every time we want to do is we want to be in control. We need to have trust in the Lord. We do all we can. Yeah, we get up early, everything, you know. But the rest is in the hand of God. If I don't get to the next station, it must be the will of God to me now. Then I don't go. I will miss that. You know. Now the only one time that I never make to the place of the convention was in the Philippines. That years ago. Supposed to get out to Butuan. But PAL, plane always late. You know, didn't turn up. And his excuse was there was a typhoon down in Butuan area. So he said it was delayed for 1 hour. 2 hours. Then after they say it's cancelled. And then I called a brother also. Says, "Well, the plane was cancelled because there is the typhoon." Brother said, "That's a lie. Everything here was okay." Well, the next flight you can't get it because it's a Holy Week season. It's full. So there's no way to go. Those days there were no Cebu Pacific, all these Jetstar, what other Pacific, you know, all these extra and domestic airline. Nothing. Well, then, that become a headache for Brother also. Okay, go back now to chapter 32 again. And we read from verse 6, again, Brother Henry.
"And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him.' Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided people that were with him, and the flocks, and herds, and the camels unto two bands, and said, 'If Esau come to one company, and smite, then the other company which is left shall escape.' And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to my kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy the least of all the mercies, and of all the truth, which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I hear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother of my with the children. And thou said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.
Alright. So now you can see now, when the messenger came back to Jacob and told him that his brother Esau is coming out with 400 men. But his immediate thought was that he's coming to kill me. You know? I mean, that's a lot of people, 400. He's going to scare Jacob, you know? But what do you think that Esau brought with him 400 people? Why? What was the purpose? Of course, the only reason I could think of was that to help all those people that Jacob had. You know, they're old men, children, they want to help him to bring them down, you know, to where Esau wanted to go. But the idea of having to hear 400 men kind of terrified him. And so now, of course, he began to divide his people. Well, he's kind of cunning man, you know. That's what I call this. When you, people like Jacob, when you are frightful, that was a change in Jacob later, you must understand. This was his life before he met and wrestled with the angel. Do you understand what the Bible is trying to show us? Why God records this down? The weakness of a man who believed in God and think that he could do anything, he could, just like his father Abraham, who still could control things. If God said it, then I believe you will have to believe it. And that's a lesson I have learned for years. Trust in God. When things go a bit wrong, you think, don't panic. But when he panicked, and he divided his people into two bands, I think he has actually three groups. So he said that if he so come to one company and smite them, then the second group or the rest could run away. God knows what's his idea. But now of course he prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, his father. He wanted to make sure. But his prayer was very sincere, as you can see. So well, you know, from here we understand one thing. We have to plan our journey. And we have to pray and leave everything to God. People said, God help those who help themselves. You heard this saying, God help those who help themselves. And then another person said, if a person can help himself, what if God needs to help them? God cannot help those who already help themselves. So in a way, both statements are sort of true in one way. You know, depending on how you look at it. Huh? So you know, we have to plan. We have to help ourselves in certain things to do. But there are certain things beyond our physical ability to do it. That one, everything is in God's hand. Isn't that true? Yeah. Everything, the rest of it is in God's hand. You see. Alright. Then as we go down, his prayer was sincere. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercy. Now you realize, what had God done for him? Huh? He stole the birthright from Esau. Can we use the word steal? Huh? He stole the birthright from Esau. Did he or did he not? Some said, well, no. Esau sold it to him. Well, that is also true. But see, all this was being helped. You know, he was aided by his mother, Rebecca, in the first place. How to deal with this whole thing. And the reason why God is watching to see a family, got a dysfunctional family here. You know, Isaac had a desire for venison and loved Esau because of that. Rebecca loved Jacob, because Jacob was a homely boy. His fair complexion, smooth skin, not hairy. People who go out in the sun and hide, and hunt for deer, whatever, maybe out there not too often, and stay out there in the cold, have more hair and body. Right. And Rebecca had her own idea, Jacob couldn't care less, and well, Esau also couldn't care less, even so. But Rebecca knew the importance of that blessing, of the inheritance. And she knew that the prophet has already been sent, that the younger or the elder shall serve the younger. Am I right? Yeah. She knew that. And so, God was playing out a drama here for us to see. How do we look at the Word of God? How important is the Word of God to each and every one of us? We know that to some people, some portion of the Bible is not important as the rest. If we take Acts 2:38, for example, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, how important is that? Do you have the revelation to see why Acts 2:38 is so important? To the denomination, it is not. Remember, in the denomination, a person is baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not even a name. But Acts 2:38, everything is right there. The repentance. Alright? The baptism, dead to self, sins removed, and the promise of the Holy Spirit given. Matthew 28, 19 did not have that. Does not have that. Do you understand? Absolutely, you are conscious to repent, to think. The importance of repentance, not just do you confess Jesus Christ, your own personal Savior? Not that stuff. And to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water, their sin may be removed, remitted. You want to die to self and come out a new man, that you may receive the Holy Spirit. And you have put on the name of Christ, that live Christ. So is that important? If tradition. That's the reason why God took Abraham out. God gave us a message to get us out from all of this darkness of tradition. Some people think it's not important. I can tell you a lot of people are going to miss out a lot of things. But if you ask me the question, then some of them do. Are you telling me that only those who follow the message make the rapture? Is it? I say, I'm no judge. But I believe what the Bible says, I stick to it. And where do you stand? You think you stand in the system? You think you're okay? Because the church or denomination you belong to have a 300, 500 year history? And you think you are safe from that? The majority is right. You see, the feeling of people is think that, you know what we call unity is strength, they say, right? That means the majority, when the voice of the majority counts. Yeah, that is only in politics. That's only in government. That's only perhaps in corporation enterprises. But the majority's voice does not necessarily count when it comes to God. You see. So how important is a scripture verse of something that is important laid out by God to you? Do you consider it carefully? That is the thing we want to know. You see. So here we have Jacob with his sincere prayer. And God bless him truly in all that he had done. Help him when he was with Laban. Alright, we continue right now as he prayed to verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou shalt surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So it seems that he just reminded God. Remember, he said this. Well, God keep his word. God is not a liar. Alright, verse 13 to 14. Brother Pratsi, will you read that? Verse 13 onwards.
So he lodged there that some night, and two gold came to his hand as a present for his brother. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their foals, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every job by itself, and sent to his servants, pass over before me, and put some distance between successive jobs. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong, and where are you going, whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It is a present to my Lord Esau, and because he also is behind us. So he commanded the second and the third, and all who followed the throne, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face, so that he will accept me. So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok.
This is the last verse, yeah.
He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had.
All right. Now, here you can see he planned everything. He need to plan now because of his fear. So he divide his family into all these different parts and different sheep and goats and all this, and let send them forward. You know, the thing that went through is Jacob's mind, and I think that kind of stressed him out for nothing. Do you trust? Well, what think you of yourself? That's a question, maybe. What think concerning Jacob? What was he thinking? I used to say, when you have a problem, a situation, what do you think of yourself? Already, you are looking at Jacob, one who said to God, you know, you said you will do this for me, and you promised being this, and all this. And the angels are already there with him, sending to already to meet him. So he should have the confidence. But now, he's still thinking. So when you have when you are in a situation like Jacob, what think you of yourself? What do you think concerning this situation? What will you think? Now, remember this again, that just to show us that the serpentine nature is there within us. Their unbelief, their untrusting, no, their fear. And God is trying to show us here, Jacob. Well, so he sent the family all across the river Jabbok. River Jabbok is on the right hand side, on the eastern side of the river Jordan, when they come down from the north. Okay? When Jacob went up to Padan Aram, he was on the western side. Going up to Padan Aram, when he came down, he came on the eastern side. Now he crossed the river Jabbok, which is a tributary that goes into the river Jordan. Alright. So now in verse 24. So when he sent them across the river Jabbok, the Bible now tells us that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. And the angel asked him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, the angel said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou have power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou do ask after my name? And the angel blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrunk, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because it touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrunk. Interesting here. The Bible did not tell us anything, and just that he was left alone, and then suddenly here came a man wrestled with him. Right. Who do you think this man was? Who do you think this man was? Some said, well, he was just an angel, a very ordinary angel. Who do you think it was? I personally believe that this was none other than the theophany of God. And there's only one face. That was the face of Jesus Christ. Because he said, I saw God face to face. He didn't say, I see angel face to face. I saw God face to face. You know, sometimes it is good. The Bible says he was left alone. Sometimes we need to be alone. Some people like to socialize so much so that, you know, when you socialize so much that you are not content with God. You think about all your problems. So the only thing is to be alone and let God come and wrestle with you. And you say, Brother God, this is a literal wrestle? You believe it. It was a literal wrestling. I mean, how could not the angel of the Lord, how could not the Lord overcome him? Of course, the Lord could. But it won't be fair, won't it? Because of all, he has all the power. So if the Lord comes to wrestle with Jacob, an ordinary man, he must be also an ordinary man to wrestle with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And for God to come down and save us, he cannot come down and save us as God with all power and just take away sin. He has to come down like a man with like passion. Do you understand what I'm saying? He must feel your pain, feel you as you are. And even when people were coming to try to kill Jesus Christ, what did the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It tells us that Jesus sneak away. He's not ready to die at that time. He must sneak away. Because any time anybody throw a stone and he knock on his head, he'll be knocked. So there's no way, my God, your God, he came down in such an ordinary, common way to touch you and feel you. To identify with you and me so that, you know, we can say that, oh, he identified with us. You see. Not a God who sits on a throne. Like Zeus. Interesting, huh? Like Poseidon. Poseidon. And what all these other characters. Synonym and something judge and all this. What is that? But we have a God who identifies with man. That's why in the very beginning when God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. So when man fell, he himself must come and identify with the likeness of sinful man. To feel our passion. You see. You understand? That's why the Trinitarian could not understand this. And then they said Jesus Christ was born, God a man, yes, but he was born a little baby, was God already? No. There was an ordinary child born of without sin, growing up to feel, to learn as a child, learn as a young man. Yes, that right? You know. And on the age of, at the age of 30 years old, round about that is when the Holy Spirit came upon him, empowered him, endured him with power, so that he could go on and carry out the ministry. It doesn't mean when the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him a power that he cannot die. No, because God cannot die. Only that man can die. Do you know your God? You see? So people don't understand this. Oh, your God, there was a man became God. So that's how they understand it. My God has always been God. But the man Jesus Christ was the tabernacle of God. It was a body. What? Need for the incarnation of the Word. Your body. You have the Holy Spirit in you? Yes. Right? Does it make you God? Or that you are just a son of God? And that Jesus Christ was called the Son of God. And he said, I'm your brother. He was the firstborn among many brethren. So how difficult to understand. So here was Jacob wrestled with this man. The Bible says he was a man that came to wrestle with him. And so when he wrestled, you know, the angel, well, you know, I think Jacob was very desperate. Won't let this man go. Hold him, squeeze him so tight. Lock him in the what kind of hole is that? They lock whatever you hold to you. He come home. Of course, just if the opinion of God what do he just held him will go away. He could do that. But that's not fair. He must be as a man. Always come forward as a man, the opinion. Therefore he must present himself like that. But when he come as a mighty angel, as a what they call a captain of the Lord of hosts. What do you think? How did he dress like? Huh? That Gideon could call, you know, could identify him. Are you on whose side are you on? So I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. Of course, he must be dressing like a in a garb that is of a captain. Now, Cassian, when he met Abraham, what was he dressed in? Like a high priest. That's the identity. Our God prefigured himself in so many forms so that we can understand him. You see. So now, well, check out holding so tight. And you know what he did? He just put his hand to the hollow of his thigh. That's where, you know, the loin. Just put his hand there. Oh my. That was painful, right? But Jacob still hold on to him. Then the angel asked him, what's your name? My name is Jacob. Jacob. It's a planter. Not a good name. Right? It's not a good name. The question is right now. When the angel asked him, what is your name? Jacob honestly tell him, Jacob. That's not a good name. So, if any of you here have a strange name that you don't like, I think you better change it. Huh? I remember the brother, Berlingham, he changed his name, you know. I spelled differently. So he changed his name. So now, and he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. Because now you are the prince of God. Because as a prince you have power with God and with men. And you have won. You have prevailed. Now your name shall be called Israel. And Jacob said, now what is your name then? The angel said, you ask me my name? You ask me my name? No, he just blessed him. Then after blessing him, then Jacob knew that he has seen the face of God. And the word Peniel means God's face. And in verse 31, it says that as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose out upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He limped. And even the Jew to this day, to that day, I don't know whether they do, some of them still not practice them not to eat the sunni of the, you know, the area where the loin is. They won't want to eat it. Now I want to show you something about Jacob's name. This is the Hebrew word for Jacob, Yaakov. There's a yod, ayin, u, and them. So Yaakov, that's the name. But I want you to notice something about this first alphabet. This first alphabet is yod, is him. Okay? Then you remove that away. What do you have here? Now, don't let your eyes get twisted and look as if, oh, spy. That's not spy. Okay? Alright? So, this word here is ayin, op, the letter, you pronounce it op, I believe it's pronounced op, kup, is Q-O something, Q-O-F, op, kup, and this is bet. Okay, so here is akop. It means the hill. That's what it is. It's the hill. You know your hill. So, Jacob's name is Yaakov. His hand grabs the heel of his brother. Do you understand that? Let's go heel. Alright. Now, the strange thing about this is that even though it's called heel, the actual word, when you talk about heel, in the Bible, if you look into your concordance, you search it, you find that it also means supplant. Supplant. You see? Alright, so it's Akub, but that's not the name of Jacob. Jacob is, he must have the yoke in front, up here to make it Yaakov. I supplant. I take somebody's feet. Alright. Now, this is Yaakov's name. Alright, here. This is the letter, our alphabet. Yod he vah he. Remember? Yod, there was the hand. Yod he vah he, which you know is that hook. Vah he. Yod he vah he. That is, I am the self-existing one. I always exist. I am that I am, that is to say. Yod he vah he. I am that. It's like this hook, the va. I am that I am. That means I will always be. I exist and will continue to exist. Now this hair, if you look at it very carefully, it always represents breath. Abraham, when he was first, his name was Abraham, but he was changed to Abraham. Right? So Sarah to Sarah. So the name change with this hair means life. Means it has life. So now Jacob is Yaakov. Supplanter. That's what his name. But strangely, when this word is also found in Akub. It was in the Bible when you see this word like that with the hair at the end of it, it also spells heal, but not heal as in heal, but heal as in step, a footstep, your step. You understand? Okay, so that's how you look into the word of God carefully. I want to show you one verse. Let's go to Genesis. All right, but Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So how will you read that?
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Okay, now this was the judgment upon the serpent. Right. And God said that you put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman will bruise your head, but you will what? You only will bruise his heel. Whose heel is that? The heel of the Lord. That it means the footstep. The word heel is spelled like this. It's spelled like this. And how is it pronounced? Kind of very strange. I don't know why Hebrew pronounce it. Ikiba. And another one is pronounced instead without the hair is akop, with the hair is akip. You know, and it's quite a different. As you know, with this hair there, it changes. Instead of the heel, it becomes your step. The step of a righteous man, what? The Bible talks about our step is being guided by the law of pathway, right? Our guide, how he help us in our footstep, our walk. The seed of the woman bruised the heel of Satan. But only Satan could only bruise his heel. Right. And that means to say that he can try to bruise the church, but the church will still always prevail. Now, Jacob was, you know, the angel of God touches his hollow of his thigh. And he walked with the limb. This is a problem. See this hole here? It's dislocated. That is one of the strange things about the Hebrew character. Alright, they always tell stories. That's why if you study the Hebrew alphabet, a whole lot of things God presented in the Bible. So, that's the reason why. Now his footstep is kind of, not even now. Alright, that becomes a step, is no longer just heel. Now, this is also Jacob. That's Jacob. But Jacob's name now is spelled with a vav. Jacob's with a vav. This vav, as you know, you remember I told you about it, huh? Every time the most of the Bible verses begin with an N. N. Vav means to connect. Do you understand? So what did this vav? Why did this vav appear? In five cases, five times in the Bible, you can look into the Old Testament because they are Hebrew. Five times, Jacob's name has this letter vav in it. The rest of it, it does not have this vav. And you look at Elijah. Five times, Elijah's lost his vow. What did Elijah's vow disappear to? It disappeared to Jacob. And if you read my article on It Is Finished, I tell you the story. Elijah was a special prophet. They always have relationship with Jacob. Because Jacob is always grasping with his hand. You know how he'd been trying to do, you know, when he was born, he grabbed to hold to the heel of Esau, and when he was out and about in the world, he did the same thing. He was always grasping for things. You understand? So that's why in the final vision that God dealt with Jacob to change his name to Israel, was to wrestle with him and see how desperate he must be to cling on to things that are now heavenly. Huh? He wouldn't let the angel go because he knew that he was not somebody, natural, a common man. And so he wrestled with him and he was asked his name, what was your name? My name was Jacob. No longer be Jacob. You shall be called Israel. Wow, you call me Israel, then who are you? What's your name? If you change my name to Israel, Prince of God, because I prevail with God and man, then who are you? What's your name? You asking my name? The Lord said, you're asking my name, but you should know by now. And so in the morning when he crossed over, got out of the place of Panoa, he was walking with the limb. Interestingly, the limb was there. And then this bar. Now I want to say this bar, that Elijah was a prophet. And we know that in the Bible, there are two great prophets. One was Moses, the other was Elijah. Moses was the law, Elijah was grace. Right? And that's the reason why Israel always want to connect to Elijah. They asked Jesus Christ, remember? The disciples were asking Jesus Christ. But they said Elijah must come first. Right. Why? Why? To restore all things. Right. Like Jacob was restored by God. To make him to see that you have a birthright, you have a heavenly place, your people will be blessed. Come back and stop grasping in the air things that you do not need. Don't grasp at the things of the world. It is useless. You see. So that's why his name was changed to Israel. So Elijah was sent 5 times. Elijah appears in the Bible without the var. The var all 5 times disappear from Elijah and appear in Jacob's name. Remember here, Jacob was changed to Israel. And that's not what you find in the Bible 5 times. That Elijah must appear. And he said, well, what has it got to do with the church? But when we see they connect to the church, because you look into Malachi chapter 3 or Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and 6, what does it say? That the Lord will send Elijah before the great and coming day of the Lord, right? What do you do? To turn on the heart of father, to turn on the father. That is the final prophecy before the Old Testament closes out. So what has it got to do with the church? Very much. Because who was John the Baptist? Natural Israel. Israel. Spiritual Israel. The church. There's a connection. By what? By the gospel. John the Baptist was Elijah sent to turn the heart of the people, of the religious leader, back to the faith that he is preaching to the children of Israel. And it was these children, or those who followed John, and later some of them were disciples, that they grew up to become the apostolic father. And the apostolic faith then was went up. And so this last day, the apostolic faith was kind of lost. Denominational minor organized and all that. So God had to send another Elijah to turn the children of God in this last day back to the faith of the Father. God chose Abraham to come out of Ur of Chaldees because of tradition, because of darkness. Right? He had mixture. And the people got the truth, got the oracles. But again, Israel went into a lot of mess. Time and time again, God tried to bring them back. Back to what? Back to Himself. Back to His own Word. But finally, when the gospel came, they rejected it. And it turned to us. And then God tear down the wall of partition. The Gentile, the Jew, no longer are two people, but one in the household of God. So if we are one in the household of God, what then are we? What faith do you have? My faith? Trace back to Jacob. Trace back to Israel. Trace back to Isaac. Trace back to Abraham. To whom God called out. That's why Abraham is my father. My spiritual father. Of faith. We learn from what he's been through. We learn from what his son Isaac has been through. Jacob. And how that the gospel, how that the word of the Lord, their Lord came down through the nation of Israel till Jesus came and fulfilled all that law. Right? There was the promise seed that God promised to Abraham, not Isaac. So does Elijah have anything to do with us? You better believe it. You understand that? It's all traced back. Your faith and my faith and the Jewish faith are all traced back to Abraham, not the other one. Right? There are three faiths, remember? They always hold to Abraham. Only two can identify themselves with Abraham because of the one seed. The one seed is Isaac, not Ishmael. Isaac to Israel, Jesus Christ to us, through Isaac to Israel, to Judah, to us. Right? It's all just a tributary, so to speak. Coming back home to the Father. You know. Alright? So that's it. Alright, chapter 33. Now here, chapter 33, we see simply in this record here, Jacob and Esau being reconciled. And you know how he divided up his family. Bihaz, Zilpah's, Rachel's, and Leah. And the children that belongs to them, together with some animals, move out there in the form of rams. But the surprising thing was that when Jacob met with Esau, Jacob received a surprise that Esau was not the man he thought he would be. And I believe this, that God sometimes not only worked on this one side, one just with one person, he also worked with the other person so that when they can meet together and get them to reconcile. And you know, in all that Jacob was doing here, he tried to appease Esau. When God already told him, go, everything will be alright, fine. But he was still trying to appease. I mean, again, as I said, that natural man, that fear. But anyway, he had a surprise when he received Esau. But now let us go on to the rest in the middle of chapter somewhere. Jacob, in verse 8, you know, Esau asked Esau asked Jacob, what mean all this that you are coming to me with? All these animals and all this. And Jacob said, well, you know, I want to give it as a gift. And Esau said, well, I have enough of my own. You just keep it. But Jacob said, I insist. Okay, so he received it. That's good. So now Esau said to him, come with me down to my home, to Edom, to my place, to Seir, which is down in the south. Alright, on the Dead Sea, on the eastern side. Come with me. And, well, you know, Jacob, as usual, is still thinking. And he said this in verse 14. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant. I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that go before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. So Jacob is giving excuses in a sense. You know, I cannot go with you now because we just came down for all this long journey. You know, my cattle cannot travel too long, else they will die. You know, the children are also all tired. You go first. And we take our own time to just come down and see you in Seir. That's where the place where Esau dwell. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. That's a good idea. So let my men that I have with me here, 400 men, let me leave some of them to help you. Oh, now, if you have that, Jacob was thinking too, if I have Esau's men here to stay with me until we're ready to go, you know, that would be a hindrance. Because he got other plans in his head. So he said, what need it? Let me find grace in thy sight, my Lord. No, I don't need it. You know. So well then Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob, well, he turned around and went back to Sukkot and built a house and made booth for his cattle, and therefore the name of the place is called Sukkot. And Jacob came to Shalom, to a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the sea. So he crossed the river, went over to the other side of Shechem, on the western side of Jordan. So he didn't keep his promise, did he? Jacob was still Jacob. He still had not yet overcome. Well, he may have intention, we were saying, but to go down. But after he decided later, maybe not to go down. Because there might be a lot of things. We can read between the line here. Okay? Esau and Jacob, they were not on good terms. After all, so many years now, Esau seemed to be good. But now if I were to go down and dwell with him in Seir, well, one day, Jacob might just go back again and think of, oh, how you, Jacob, you were a conniver, you supplanted me, you took away my birthright. Suddenly that thing might come up. Ancient history will come up. You know? So this might be going on in his mind. And perhaps one thing is that God wants him to separate also. You know? Because after all, you never know. Like Brother Jackson used told me when there was a conflict between him and me over doctrine. The Bergan, you don't come to my convention. You go where God sends you. And God bless you. Okay. So sometimes certain event happen. Oh, you can see that in the Bible, don't you? Between Paul, Silas, Barnabas, and John Mark. Isn't that so? Was it not true? Until Paul said, I take Barnabas with you. You go and take Jonah with you. You know, there's always some problem that was created. And God allows him so that he could separate the minister. You go there and preach. You go there and preach. That's a good idea. Good thing happens. There's always things that happen. Okay, so. And he bought, verse 19, we close. And he bought a parcel of a field which he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel, Mighty God of Israel. He called that place El Elohe Israel, the mighty God of Israel. In the journey they will walk, be like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. When God starts to shape our life, put us on trial, we hold fast to that we know to be true until we see Christ face to face. Amen? The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. I remember the time when our Lord Jesus was on the earth and his disciples being called. And there were some of them that came up to him and said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? And our Lord Jesus said, come and see. And they followed him to his home, to where he abode. But what is that you want to tell us, Lord? Jesus brought the disciple to his home. It's the order is to show him the little house that he drew in. Was it there is more than that? And you know, Father, if we know where Jesus dwells, then we will know where we should be dwelling too. For when Jesus said to the disciple, come and see, and he saw them where he dwelt, and Lord, the truth is this, he brought us to his home, the Father's home, the Word. And that's where Jesus dwelt, in his own Word, in the Word of the Father. If we only know, Father, Lord, that every children of yours, if every one of your children would just meditate and consider, Lord, the importance of living in thy Word, dwelling and walking in thy Word. Because in it, Father, we have communion with thee, with you. In it that we can talk with you. That you can talk with us. In it you can walk with us and guide us and hold our hands. We thank you, Father, for your precious word of life. And just bless what we have today, Lord, and learn today. Have learned today, we just pray that you let us be mindful of the word that we have received and bless your holy name. Ask him for a blessing now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.